Malachim Beis Perek Dalad, Pasuk Lamed Ches. So we just saw the seventh Nes that Elisha did. But at this point, who's counting? And there are another two more Nesim, an eighth and a ninth Nes that Elisha did as well. And we'll start seeing that tonight. So he just brought back to life the son of the Shunamis. And now he's going back home. Elisha Shava Gilgal. He goes back. Elisha goes back to the Gilgal. Now Elisha had his power base. He was living next to Shunem, which is near the Har Carmel. That's where Elio did the major nace with the Nevi Baal. And over there, he had a power base. He had supporters. He had helpers. He had people who believed in him. Now, he left that power base, and he's going back to the Gilgal. Right? Gilgal was far away from his support base. And which was not exactly a wise thing to do, because this is during the 7 years of famine in the days of Yehoram. Yehoram was, again, a very bad king, who did a Avodah Zarah, like his fathers, and that brought Rav. As you remember, when it was Achav, right? Achav turns to Elio and he says, "I don't understand. When you make a bracha or a klala, it comes true right away. However, when Moshe, your Rebbe, has a klala, it doesn't come true. Why? Because what did Moshe say? Moshe said that if you do Avodah Zarah, then it's not going to rain. Right? Hashem will, that's what we say in Shema every day. Right? But Yom Lo Tishmu, right? Then what's going to happen? Hashem's going to stop the rain. The land is not going to grow any food. Right? That's part of Shema. That's part of Yom Shema Tishmu, right? So what's Pshat, says Achav Telio, why is it that when you say something, it comes true right away? When Moshe says something, it doesn't come true at all. What does that mean, right? So, the Malbim over there explains.
Amen.
He says a fascinating idea. He says that when the Israel are doing Ratzon Hashem, then they're under a completely different control. They're not under the rulership of nature, right? They live on a different sphere altogether. However, when they're not doing Ratzon Hashem, when they leave Hashem's way and they worship Avodah Zarah, then what happens? What happens is they don't follow the rules. Then they don't live on a alternate sphere, on a higher sphere. They live according to Teva, according to nature. So if according to nature it's supposed to rain, then it's going to rain. If according to nature it's not supposed to rain, then it's not going to rain. Right? It's all based on nature. That's why in the time of Achav, the reason why it was raining was because, according to nature, it was supposed to rain. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when we do Ratzon Hashem, when we do the will of Hashem, then even if it's not supposed to rain according to nature, it still will rain.
Who knows what it's supposed to be?
Right. Okay, so we don't necessarily know that. That's why Achav was so confused. He doesn't understand. We're doing Avodah Zarah. Still, we got plenty of rain, plenty of food. Right? That's what he tells Elio. Why isn't the curse of Moshe coming true? So that's what Malbim is explaining, that the reason why it's raining was not because Hashem wanted Hashem is bringing rain, right? There's two ways of living. There's Hashgacha Klalis, right, Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Klalis just means, you know, Hashem obviously controls what happens in the world. There's different levels of Hashem intervening in our lives. Hashem can either be intimately involved in our life, right, orchestrating every step of the way, every single part of our lives. That's called Hashgacha Pratis, right, where Hashem comes down to every single detail in our lives. And then there's Hashgacha Klalis. Hashgacha Klalis means that Hashem, you know, deals with the big picture issues, like, you know, like war, like famine, if a country will prosper and conquer a lot of lands and so on.
Isn't that that it didn't stop? They didn't have they didn't do enough of Erush yet for God to stop nature.
Right.
Exactly. It's going to happen if you keep going. But God gives you a chance. Well, it's the same thing like with all the countries that were there before the Jews came there. They lived there. They were doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. God says, not yet. We're not going to throw them out yet because they didn't get to the 49th. That position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing here. Even though they're doing things wrong, but they don't see it from heaven that something's happening. You didn't get there yet. You keep going. Well, Moshe told you that there, because you just keep going, it's going to happen.
Right. So the reason...
I get questions. Why Hashem can do anything he wants? What's he telling them? Why is he giving a mitzvah for the Jews to kill a Moloch? Mm-hmm. Moloch is against God, so you can't kill him. Because he's after you. Even though it was against God too, they was doing a various way back then. Even on the other side, but it says they didn't do enough yet. They're not getting any thrown out yet there. But when the Jews got ready, they were thrown out. They were doing what they've been doing for years. All those other things.
Right.
There is a time when God will change nature.
Yeah.
Even though it seems, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, because God gives people a chance to repent.
That's true.
However, in Jewish life, there's always a however or a button. There, yeah.
Right.
One says this, the other one says that. However.
Right. You know, they say, right. Huh? If there's 10 Jews in a room, you'll have 11 opinions.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah. You might have more than that.
Any statement can be next.
All right.
Well, I mean, he asked that question, but you could answer. You could answer this. The question is that when Leo comes here, he's saying he's getting the message right from God this second. And if God gives him the message, It's going to happen. The nature is going to stop. But Moshe, he said, if you do it later, when the time comes and everything else, this is going to happen. He's not talking about right now.
Right.
Isn't that the kind of what it is?
Yeah. But I'm saying still, Acha was pointing out that the words of Moshe should come to fruition. Right? Because Moshe said specifically, if you do Avodah Zarah, it's not going to rain. Right? Moshe said that. And yet, it is raining.
Yeah, but he said, if you do Avodah Zarah, if, didn't you say, over here.
Here, let's open up the Shema. What does it say,
Shema? They're not doing it right in front of Moshe. They're not doing it.
Moshe doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to be there.
I understand, but he's saying what's going to be in the future, and he's telling him what's going to happen now.
Right. Right, Eliyahu is telling them what's going to happen
difference.
Now. Right, that's true. There are other things that we have to take into play as well. Right, that we don't necessarily know how it works. But it says, for example, the Gemara says about the generation of Achav, even though they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, which is again one of the worst averus of the Torah. Right, Yaharg Val Yavar, a person is commanded to give up his life before he worships Avodah Zarah. Still, any time they went to war, it would come out victorious. Why? Why, says the Gemara? Because they had Achdus. They had unity, achdus.
Oh, well.
They had unity amongst them. They didn't speak Lashon Hara.
The time wasn't ready.
What?
It wasn't ready yet. He still had something good about him.
Right, right. So we see.
I guess the worst things come when there's nothing, no schus of it left for the person.
Right, right.
Completely.
Unity. They were together. They didn't. There were no fighting. Right. No fighting. No Lashon Hara. That unity. They loved each other.
Well, that's what they say when they
help him to be.
No, meaning spiritually, because spiritually they were together, that had a merit, that had a schus for them, to.
It's mean there is a special balance between unity, Lashon Hara. What is it?
Yeah.
What is the lesson from that?
The lesson is that that on the flip side, if you have a generation who's doing the right thing, they're learning, studying Torah, they don't do Avodah Zarah, they only do mitzvahs, learn Torah all day, but if they speak Lashon Hara amongst them, then Hashem doesn't want to be there. They don't have the presence of Hashem.
Well, isn't it right? The same?
And that's what happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, what was the Avodah that why did we go into Galus?
Sinas Chinam.
Exactly. Right,
it was civil war.
Right, even though we were, it was a generation of great Torah scholars. Right, they were doing mitzvahs, they were learning Torah. The great the Sanhedrin and the yeshivas were doing amazing, but because they spoke Lashon Hara, they had sinas chinam, that ruined everything. We see what a powerful value spiritually Lashon Hara has, and unity on the flip side.
Didn't they say with the people?
It was actually civil war.
Well, I know it's civil war, but
they built a tower. They tried,
everyone was fighting
fight
against everybody else.
Yeah, Migdal Bavel.
Why it was because?
But this is they, fighting
they helped each other.
Right.
They had exactly.
Talk. Exactly.
The same
thing.
Exactly.
I cannot believe you could to be nice, religious man and make something wrong as Lashon Hara.
They were probably.
There is not a wall between one and two.
No, they were killing each other.
There is very nice religion men. They study Torah, and all perform all mitzvahs at the same time. And make something wrong. If you make something wrong, it means you believe in something. Torah. You learning Torah is not enough, because learning Torah it helps you to understand many things.
True. But you have to bring it into practice as well. If you study Torah, right, and then you go out and
you don't apply it.
Right, you have to apply it to the world. You have to bring it into the world of Olam Asiyah, the world of doing, of action. If you can't do that, then what is your Torah worth?
No, historically you're right, this happened, but practically, but for example, is this. Young kids go to yeshiva. What they are doing? They learning whole day. Actually, what they do? They somebody make the moral lessons about Lashon Hara on the 90% the time to learning.
You're right. 90% of the time is learning. Yeah.
Learning, but this learning, it's theoretically it happened again after the learning. There is no any. How are you sure it's not happened again?
Some of them get married and they beat their wives.
No,
and some run around and some do drugs and some gamble. There's no guarantee. You got to apply what you learn.
Well, what do you say?
But it goes on.
It means it's not guarantee even now on time. We're learning a lot. We do something, but theoretically it can happen again.
It could. That's why studying Lashon Hara is so important. It's so crucial.
But learning else is not. I believe even during destruction in temple, people learning this. Because Lashon Hara probably it's part of your mental state. This is a difficult relation. Even you know what is good, sometimes you do something wrong.
Yeah, true.
This is what have to teach young people.
Look, the Gemara says that most people fail in the area of of Lashon Hara or Avrik Lashon Hara. Right? So it's a very hard thing to keep. It is. But at least if it's a value for you, right? At least if you learn the rules of Lashon Hara, and it's in the front of your mind, okay, you know, is this Lashon Hara, is it not? Okay, yes, I do stumble every now and then. Right? We're not angels, no one's perfect, we're human beings. But we have to at least make an effort.
I thought you were an angel.
I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm not an angel. Hey, no, I don't have any wings.
Not to stalk this Lashon Hara is keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Because when you talk, don't talk about anybody else, period. You can never know why you might say something and the other person will take it bad. Not even what you meant. You don't say something that could be turned over bad to the person you're talking about, to somebody else, because he won't understand what you're saying. You got to watch it. Shmir a solution.
Even the great, some of the great rabbis.
I mean, every time you talk about, you know somebody. I know somebody.
Maimonides, the Rambam.
That was a Meshigana.
You know what they did with his books? They burnt his books.
What's one thing that to do with the other?
Right.
Yeah.
But that's
there was other Jews that burnt his books.
In
his lifetime.
He did this.
But he's
a nice guy.
Someone burnt his books. He wrote books and they burnt his books.
Because they don't
hate
him?
No matter what you're going to say about something.
Quarrels between them. I don't like what you're saying.
Right.
No, but I know this is...
But this is going out through... You think that everyone... was in history was religious. There was people that converted to become Christians and Muslims, and in Spain there's some books.
No, but this was long ago. Even 20th century, there is different kind of Jews in Europe. You know, one is called.
There was Purushim, the rabbis, and there was the...
Yes, there is different groups. It's not Sephardic, Ashkenazi.
But they fought with each other.
They're fighting, really fighting. They have two synagogues, and they fighting for very small reasons.
All right. That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, there is enough. That is enough. But anyway, okay, so we got a little bit off track over here. Point is that now that Yehoram has famine during his days, right? There's 7 years of famine in the days of Yehoram. So this happened because, right, back to what we were saying before, because he was doing Avodah Zarah. So now the Klal of Moshe actually is coming into fruition. Because, like you said, they did so many Averis, right? They did Avodah Zarah for so many years, right? He kept on doing what his father was doing and his grandfather was doing. He kept on going for it. Hashem said, that's it, enough.
His Avodah Zarah, was it a complete Avodah Zarah? Oh, is it an Avodah Zarah that he believes in both two things? Like the guy and believe in Jesus and they believe in even God.
But
his Avodah Zarah, did he completely leave God out of the thing? Or was it like they did way back? They believe in God, but they believed that the other power was there too. So you have to...
No, there was purely Avodah Zarah, right? The question is, why do they do it? They do it because they wanted to go against Hashem specifically. There's two different categories. There's Mumar le'achis, right? To go again. I want to go against Hashem. Then there's Mumar le'ta'avai, right?
You can't help yourself.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
it feels good.
Right. Exactly. Right. So there's two different categories.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
So yes, every king was different. Anyway, so Elisha goes back to the Gilgal, right? V'ara ba'aret u'bnei hanavim yoishvim lefanov v'yomer l'na'aroi shfois asir ha'gadolah u'bashal nazi lifnei hanavim. So Elisha tells one of his men, why don't you go get a big pot of water and make a soup, make some kind of stew for the Bnei Hanavim, right? Apparently it was his job, Elisha's job, to support the Nevim. And so he goes in and he tells one of his men to make some kind of
make a stew
for the Nevi'im, because we got to feed them, right? Ve'etze echad al sada lalakat oyrois ve'im tzagef and sada v'lakat mimenu pakuas pkuois sada loy vigdoi ve'yavay ve'falech al sira nazid kiloy yada'u. So he goes out to the forest in order to gather, you know, whatever vegetables, root vegetables, whatever you can find. And apparently he finds this gefen sadeh, which is some kind of lethal vegetable, which is very, very, very dangerous. But he had no idea what it was. So he, you know, there was plenty of it, obviously, right, for good reason. He had no idea why, so he takes a whole big amount. He gathers this whole gathers it in his cloak, and he brings it back to the campsite, and he puts it into the stew. So he didn't know, right? And then once he put it into the stew, the bananavim, right? Bananavim. The chances were that amongst them, we're talking about many bananavim. Chances were that amongst them, someone would recognize that this was a dangerous potion or a dangerous vegetable, but once he put it in, no one saw what it was, and it was too late already.
Poison mushrooms.
Yeah, poison mushrooms. Yeah, it's like the
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Rhubarb.
It was.
Look, you know, you can eat part of it, and you can't eat the rest.
Yeah,
but I don't.
It was a poisonous vegetable.
It's in the stew.
It was a poisonous vegetable.
How did they know that? Or did they just recognize it?
No, they didn't know. No, so once they started eating it, right? So, well, let's see. Hold on, let's see. So, let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk mem. Ve'itzku la'anoshim lechol. So, they start giving out the stew, you know, in the bowls. Ve'yib ke'ochlem me'anozid ve'yim atzako ve'yim ramabas basir. Isha elikim v'layochlu lechol. Right? So, once they started eating it, they started exerting symptoms of, I don't know exactly what the symptoms were, but it was damaging them, was hurting them. Either they got a really bad stomach ache, or they started throwing up, whatever it was, but they got these symptoms that it was clear that there was something wrong, something poisonous. And so they started screaming. They said, oh no, this stew is dangerous, mm-hmm. It's poisonous, right? So first of all, you have two problems. First of all, they're going to have nothing to eat. Right, from now on, you know, no more dinner, right? Dinner is poisonous. No one's going to eat it anymore. And then they're also screaming over what they ate already, right? Because now anybody who ate is in danger.
It says they put it into the pot of stew, which means before they put the vegetables in there. What was in there beside water? It says stew. It doesn't say water.
Right.
There must have been something else in there.
Yeah, no, there's something else too. This
usually stew is made with meat.
Right. It wasn't the only ingredient. Yeah.
Kikayon.
It's a vegetable
stew. The vegetable
stew. The wrong stuff in there.
Kikayon is poisonous also.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the tree that grew over Yaina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying I don't think that was this.
I know, whatever.
I'm not sure we know exactly what.
Doesn't make any difference.
It was
something that's poisonous.
Yes,
not all things that grow are
edible.
That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe now we don't.
Just because they grow out of the ground doesn't mean that they're
edible,
you can
right.
eat them.
Yeah, you have to know. We have to know. Some people know exactly what's poisonous and what's not.
Not only that, they have to be clean. Whatever it might. It might not be. It might not hurt you if you washed it off. If you didn't wash it off,
he goes out and he picks.
If your dirty is not.
He
so
goes good. Out and he picks mushrooms. I have no idea which mushrooms are edible. Toast. They're all kosher, but then some of them are poisonous.
Mushrooms and toads. They call them a toadstool.
If you don't understand this,
the poisonous ones
good
are called toadstools.
Yes, sir. Right. There you go. All right.
Because I know, mm-hmm. I do it.
Okay.
So, I wouldn't want to find out which is where.
Yeah, me neither.
Mushroom, not too many.
Some give you hallucinations.
Yeah, you have different kinds of mushrooms also. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe some people like hallucinations.
Smoke them, whatever. All right.
Okay. Any case, yeah, so we got a big problem over here. Yeah, people already ate from this this poisonous stew, and they started screaming, what are we going to do? So Elisha comes in, he swoops in as the usual hero, right? And they say, everyone says, oh, who is that? Is that a fly? Is that a bird? It's Superman, Elisha. No, no, they didn't say that. Anyway, Pasukim Aleph, Vayomer v'kchu kemach v'yash lechel asir, Vayomer tzak lo'om v'yechelu v'lehoya davar rab asir. So the Malbim points out that, what is he doing over here? He takes some flour, says, take some flour, put it into the stew, and voila. Now it's all edible.
Wow, tasted good.
Right,
wow.
Tasted good. Right, it's a delicious, tasty stew.
No, it's like,
that's not poisonous anymore.
It's like the
it was an antidote.
Bitter water.
Right. But with bitter water, what did he do? He put salt. Yeah, so you were saying last time that sometimes you can purify water with salt. But Malbim learns that salt naturally hurts the water. Right, so he's using something that is counterintuitive, and he's using that to cure the water, to make it better. But over here, he's doing the opposite. He's using something edible, like flour, and he's using that to perfect this stew, to make it edible again. Right? So why does he do that over here? So he says that the way a Navi does... So it depends what we're talking about, right? When it comes to the past, right? Anytime it comes to the past, then Hashem can do something that might seem counterintuitive in order to cure the past, right? So Hashem he breaks a hammer with a hammer, right? Anything that's damaging, right? Hashem will break it with something that's damaging. But when it comes to fixing the future, that's very different. Going to fixing the future, the way that a Navi performs an ace is through the mahalach of yesh miyesh, not yesh me'ayin. Yesh me'ayin means to make something out of nothing. Right? A Navi never does something out of nothing. Rather, he does something out of something. So he needs the bracha to be chal, to go on something that's there, that exists already. That's why, for example, when he did the miracle with the oil, what does he tell the woman? He tells her, have some kind
something
of jug of oil, right? I have a little bit of oil. And what I could do is say, okay, on this oil, you know, it's going to have a lot of bracha. It's going to grow. It's going to keep on pouring, and there'll be plenty to pour out of, right? But you have to start with something, right? A similar concept when he brought life back to the child. When we saw last week, right? What are the things that he does? What does he do? He goes down on the child, right? He warms up the body of the child because he wants the life force to come onto a warm body. That's, again, because he performs an ace, yesh miyesh. The bracha, or the nace, has to go on something that's there already. There's some kind of warmth. Okay, now that there's warmth in the body,
last week,
now we can bring the life force.
It has to...
Right.
The thing is, you're trying to do has to be able to macabre it. Otherwise, it won't come.
Right. Right, exactly. So the same thing over here. What the Navi is doing is he's putting flour into the stew, and now that there's flour in the stew, then he can say, okay, now I'm going to flip my wand, and voila, the stew
actually,
is edible.
The flour doesn't make any difference
here, right.
What kind of flour it was or what it was.
Right.
It was just something to change...
Exactly.
It was in there from poisonous, not to be poisonous.
Exactly.
But this is why it's a story to show his power only.
Yeah, to speak about the nisim that Elisha did. Yeah.
Some kind.
You're asking like why we have the story? Like why do we have any of the stories in the Navi?
No, but this is a small episode. I believe it's now stopped. Nothing else about this episode.
Right. You're saying it's just
when he did something to return life, it's more complicated. He probably contacted Hashem and did something. But in this case, it's kind of very confusing place. It's usually any doctor, if you have some stomach problem, poison, you first advise stop eating.
Right.
They have a, it's an antidote.
No, but they drink water because need to remove this from stomach. This is he did something to continue to eat.
Right.
No, but again, it doesn't make it. He knows what to do.
Right.
Jagger's story wanted to show how he's able to do something for other people don't.
Right. Yeah. That's what a Navi does. Yeah. So what this had a double effect. What he did. First of all, it cured the stew that from now on everybody will be able to eat it without being poisoned, and also what it did was. And then he said, what did he say? After you put flour in the stew, now everyone took a second helping of the stew. And people who ate already previously and got poisoned, when they ate from the stew again, after the flour was put in, that cured them. So even though they were sick, that cured them. The fact that they had the stew with the flour in it. So it had a double effect. It made the stew edible, and it also cured the sick. People who already ate previously.
Just watch out with what your wife cooks for you.
No, but yeah. This word, this word flour, it's exactly what this flour is. Or maybe in that time, they just make another meaning. But flour, something, it's not very...
No, you think it's a metaphor?
No, but...
It could be.
Usually it's difficult to have the flour. What has happened?
It could be a metaphor as well, but the simple understanding of the pasuk is.
So he did something.
Yeah. Okay. Let's finish till the end of the parak. Pasuk membeis v'yishba mibal shalisha v'yovel elisha lekim lechem bikurim esrim lechem sa'irim v'karmel b'tikloinai v'yoyimer ten la'am v'yochelim. So. Not only that, not only did they have enough stew to eat, but Hashem brought this man, right, this is a messenger from Hashem, who came from Baal Shalisha, that's the name of the place, and he brought a gift to the Nevi'im from the barley that he grew. This was during the month of Nisan. Nisan is typically the time where the barley grows, and that's why we bring the Korban Omer on Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then we can eat the rest of the crop.
And they were eating corn too on Pesach. Ah,
okay, yes. There we go.
Boy, they throw rocks at you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the man who brought it thought that Elisha's going to eat it. But Elisha said no. Take these loaves of bread and give it to the Bnei Nevi'im, to his students. And. B'derech Neis, these 20 loaves of bread were enough for 2,000 Bnei Nevi'im. There are apparently 2,000 students of his over there, and 20 loaves of bread was enough for 2,000. If you do the calculation, what does that come out to? That one loaf of bread fed 100 Nevi'im. Right, that's a lot. Typically, if you give 100 people, okay, guys. This is dinner, one loaf of bread. What's going to happen?
Yeah, each one had a
crumb. It ain't going to be pretty.
A crumb.
Yeah. But, Derech Neis.
You took a piece, but what was left, it doesn't even look like you took anything.
Right, so this is actually very similar to the witch Neis, the Neis of the Beis HaMikdash.
It reprinted itself.
Right, and the Beis HaMikdash also. If you ate from Lechem Apanim, one of the Nisim, at least Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, one of the Nisim is that you had a small piece, and it filled you up as if you had a full meal. Right, a full 5-course meal with dessert and everything. That was one of the Nisim. That's what happened here as well. Pasuk Mem Dal, Beitin Lifnei Ve'yochu Ve'yisiru Kidvar Hashem. Right, so they go ahead, and they eat, and they are full. Okay, we'll stop over here.
So,
end of the parak, and we'll see. We'll start parak next week.
So, when they took it.